Hey, what's up? John Doherty here for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk. Puget Sound Energy is the biggest emitter of CO2 in Washington State. They have revenues around $4 billion a year, and they provide methane and electricity to over 1 million Washington customers. As we'll hear in today's conversation, their focus as a for-profit enterprise is on providing income to the foreign entities that own them. On paper, at least, they are regulated by the Washington Utilities and Transportation Commission. Today, I'm going to be talking with Don Marsh, who is a leader at the Washington Clean Energy Coalition. He is a customer of PSE and has been calling the public's attention to the firm from his perspective as an activist concerned about climate change and the extent to which PSE is going to be a part of the climate solution or part of the problem. So here we go with our conversation with Don Marsh. Don Marsh, welcome to Climate Talk.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So, Don, you're with Washington Clean Energy Coalition. So let's just start off there. What is Washington Clean Energy Coalition and what's your role in it and why do you do it?
Well, Washington Clean Energy Coalition is comprised of quite a few representatives of environmental and civic organizations that have been participating in PSE's integrated resource planning efforts for many years. So what that is every 4 years now, PSE has to create a plan that shows us where we're going for the next 20 years. Or in this case, the timeline's been extended a little bit because of all the climate activity. So we're looking at a 27-year period. And anyway, all these folks have been participating in that sort of individually for a long time. And we felt like we could be more effective if we got together and, you know, discussed what's going on and coordinated our actions to get a better outcome for ratepayers, for the environment, and so forth.
So what's called you to do this? I mean, I've doing full research here, getting ready to talk to you today. I see that you've spent a lot of time gathering data, making presentations, attending hearings, so on and so forth. And it all sounds pretty wonky and boring in a lot of respects. So what calls you to do this?
Well, I can confirm that it is wonky and it is frequently boring, except for the fact that these energy issues impact all of us. They impact our pocketbooks. They impact the future of the climate that our kids and grandkids are going to be experiencing. So, and there's such a revolution happening in the energy space right now. It's not quite as dramatic as what you see with AI and things like that, but it is affected actually by AI, and it is affected by not only the choices that we make, but the choices that PSE makes in serving us our electricity and our natural gas. So it's kind of like sometimes it's a little bit like grit your teeth to get through it, but I think it's really important work.
Well, you're kind of underscoring there that this is a really significant transitional time in terms of energy. So fill in a bit what you mean by that.
As you know, we are trying to, as a country, as a world, we're trying to reduce the amount of harmful emissions that are going into our atmosphere to forestall the worst effects of climate change that we're just beginning to understand what the magnitude of that is. And PSE, for better or worse, is one of the largest emitters of greenhouse gases in our state. And so when we work on these plans with PSE, you know, it's like a big lever that we're doing, because these things will have a big impact on how much our energy is emitting into the atmosphere.
So just to clarify my own understanding of what you're saying is that this is a time where engaged citizens have leverage that they might not have had at times in the past. Am I reading that correctly?
I think that's right. I think that just the level of concern and the level of activism that we're seeing around this issue sort of coordinates our voice in a way that hasn't happened so much. When I started getting into this around, PSE's integrated resource plans, I started getting involved with in 2015. And at that time, you would see an occasional person make a comment about the plans. But now, when there's hearings on these plans, which Utilities and Transportation Commission holds hearings when PSE publishes these things, and you get a lot of very passionate people saying, "Please, let's make progress on this problem because I'm concerned about what's going to happen in the future if we don't."
So that's a very interesting point, which I hadn't thought about before, because just looking at my own perception, I've spent most of my many adult years just sort of taking water, electricity, those kind of things for granted. I flip on the switch, the light comes on, and if it doesn't come on, well, it's going to come on here pretty soon. It's because a tree went down there somewhere. But, sort of mirroring your experience, I've really become engaged myself in the last 6, 7, 8 years. And, just listening to your comment about citizen involvement in hearings and so on, having really increased dramatically over that same kind of time frame, there's a bit of good news in that, really. That as consumers, as in citizens of the earth, there are a lot of people who've got some energy about this. They get it, and they're willing to take that energy to the table somewhere. So let's talk a little bit about so. PSE, Puget Sound Energy, is a privately owned utility, but they're regulated by the state of Washington. So how does that work? How does that regulation work, and what role do citizens and consumers, ratepayers play in that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we ought to start just by sort of understanding what kind of energy utilities are out there, because it's true that PSE is a privately owned utility as opposed to, we have various municipal utilities and public utility districts that might have serve a broader base than just one city. So you can see, like, for example, Seattle City Light is municipally owned and operated. And as such, if citizens have some suggestions about how that utility runs, they can contact their city council members, and the city council members have a direct line to the utility saying, "Okay, here's what you need to do." That also works for utilities that serve, greater than a municipality. If they're publicly owned and operated, then citizens have, I would say maybe not a direct say, but they have, they can vote for representatives who are going to, carry forward their voice to the utility. That's not the way PSE works. So PSE is a private utility, but you can have various flavors of private utility as well. So PSE used to be some before 2009, I think, they were privately owned, but they were traded. Their stock was traded on the exchanges. So you could become a stockholder. And as a stockholder, you could get together with other stockholders. You could go to the shareholders meeting, and you could voice your opinion. And that's what PSE used to be. But they are, after 2009, they were acquired by a consortium of investment banks and pension funds that are owned outside of the United States. So there's some Canadian pension funds, there's a Dutch investment fund, and also an Australian investment fund that own PSE. And so if you wanted to buy a share of PSE, you can't do it. It's not publicly traded. So the only way that you can express your opinion to PSE sort of in a direct way, I mean, you can express your opinions, but whether they listen to you or not is always a question. So the way you do it is you go to the Utilities and Transportation Commission, which is the regulator, the state regulator of PSE. Now, the commission is made of three commissioners who are appointed by the governor, and so they serve the whole state. Your voice in it's very indirect. You vote for your governor, and then your governor appoints the commissioners. You can talk to the commissioners, and then that they can possibly regulate PSE, although we have found that they have less power than what you would think. Frequently, when we ask them to the commission to do something, they said, "Well, I have to understand, we regulate PSE, we do not manage it. So unless your request is actually covered by a specific state statute that gives us the authority to do what you're asking, then we can't do it." So it's a little bit indirect. It's a little bit difficult, kind of shaping the direction of PSE. But I will say, sorry for the long answer here, but I think the most effective thing that we have seen in moving PSE to more climate-friendly solutions is bills that are being passed by our state legislature. And PSE, could sometimes wiggle around and find loopholes or things in those regulations or those bills. But basically, that they have been effective, especially on the electric side right now. PSE is doing a lot to clean up the source of our electricity, which until recently has been more than half of that energy has been coming from burning fossil fuels. And they are mandated by these laws to be carbon neutral by 2030 and actually carbon free, no emissions by 2045 for our electricity. And I see them making progress towards that. So I'm cautiously optimistic that we are on a good path, and that's because of that legislation. Actually, the legislation is called the Clean Energy Transformation Act.
Okay, well, we're going to want to talk some more about that, but I just want to kind of underscore a understanding that I've got listening to just now, and that is really outside the realm of legislation. PSE seems like they're a law unto themselves. Am I
Yes.
overstating the case there?
I would say that's pretty close to correct. I think they're not completely divorced from public perception. And so they like to take credit for green energy as they bring it online. But you do have to understand that if they were left to their own devices, and we didn't have this legislation, they would do what would be in the best interest of their shareholders, not what's best for ratepayers necessarily, and not what's best for the environment. So the both the legislature and the UTC, the commission that regulates them, are sort of the prime movers to getting PSE to a better place for us.
Yeah, that makes me think of senators who voted against the Inflation Reduction Act, going back to their states and bragging about the stuff they're bringing to the states. And so
Yes.
PSE takes on some cleaner energy efforts and then goes to the ratepayers and the public in general and say, "Wow, see what we're
Yeah.
doing, but the reason we're doing it is because they're required to do it by law." So,
And I feel like it's necessary to say at this point that I know a lot of good people at PSE. I've been working with PSE representatives on these integrated resource plans for a long time, and they are not evil. Sometimes some of my friends want to say Anyway, it doesn't matter. But so it's not that PSE is inherently, bad, but their business model depends on maximizing those returns for those foreign shareholders. And those shareholders do not have the same stake in our communities as they do to, I mean, just for example, the Canadian pension funds that are serving teachers in Canada, their primary goal is to get every 10th of a percentage point of return out of their money. And if you were invested in those funds, you would want those fund managers to be doing that. But when there's a conflict between that rate of return and the rate of progress we're making on environmental issues, every time the shareholders are going to be served before we are.
Yeah, well, that's a common story all over the corporate world, and it's understandable. And I take your point. The folks there at PSE are not necessarily bad people. They're just doing what the structure of the system calls upon them to do.
Exactly.
And it points to something which we're not going to talk much about today, or and maybe this is going to be it, but our accounting system does not account for damages done to the environment through pollution and related things, and that's a major flaw in the way our whole system works. But as I said, that's way beyond the scope of what we're talking about here today. So, as somebody who's got a deep interest in PSE, how easy do you find it to understand what's actually going on inside PSE? What the decision-making process, how they're doing financially, those kind of things. How transparent, I guess, is what I'm asking the question.
So there's two parts to that answer. Technically, in their modeling, their forecasting, just sort of the motivation for different decisions, we have no real visibility into that. And often we ask PSE, can we see these models? Can we understand how you're getting to your answer? And they say, well, we'd love to share that with you, but it's security. There's security concerns with this information. So, they have to protect our energy grid, and they lean very heavily on this idea that there's critical energy infrastructure information. That's the actual term, or known by its acronym CEII. And they say, we just can't tell you this because, if that information was out there, terrorists would be able to do bad stuff. So I mean, that is a legitimate concern. However, there are ways that other utilities are able to share this information under non-disclosure agreements and things like that. And PSE has been very reluctant to go there. So in one way, they're a black box. Financially, there's a fair amount of reporting that they have to do still to the SEC and other energy coordinating agencies that govern the industry. And so, I sort of pore over those at times, and I can get glimpses into things, both financial and just sort of what our peak loads are and things like that. Sometimes I'm able to get a little bit of information about that, but it's definitely nowhere near the type of transparency that I get when I make public information requests to Tacoma Power or the Seattle City Light. Usually within a couple of weeks, I've got whatever information I want from those utilities. So there is a substantive difference between PSE and those utilities.
Yeah, so that really draws into question how legitimate PSE's claim that, oh, well, that we are worried about security, so therefore we can't tell you, whereas TPU or Seattle City Light seems like they're much more forthcoming, which brings up a question for me. And I'm going to jump ahead for just a second here that the ratepayers served by PSE pay significantly more for electricity than we do down here in Tacoma. We pay a little over 8 cents a kilowatt hour. BSE customers pay about 11 cents an hour. And given lack of transparency, lack of responsiveness to the public, why would we ever want to have a for-profit utility?
This was a question that was debated by the commission in 2009 when they were contemplating letting PSE be acquired by these investment groups. And at the time, PSE was struggling financially, and we needed infrastructure investments. And the commission, by a two-person to one-person vote, said, you know what, we think bringing in this private money will energize PSE, will get enough money into the company to allow them to modernize the grid and do other things that we wanted. So there were some cautions raised by the dissenting commissioner, saying, you know, this might not be everything that we're hoping for. And I think it was actually a bad deal for ratepayers, that decision. But we now have this. There have been some efforts, one successful effort in Jefferson County to break away from PSE and create a public utility to serve, you know, parts of their territory. And there have been efforts on the east side where I live, in the Bellevue area, to do the same thing. But it's a really, really hard thing to do. PSE fights it very hard, and they've got a pretty big megaphone. So I have been interested in transitioning to a public model. However, right now, I think my bigger concern is about climate issues. Mm-hmm. And I think we could spend a lot of energy trying to get to the public utility. And, you know, in the long run, I think that would be beneficial. But boy, these next 10, 20 years are really important. From all the scientists say, you know, if we don't bend the curve of our emissions now, we're going to be really hurting for my kids. And so I'm putting more effort into the climate question than I am into the public utility at this point.
Yep, I get that. And I personally can mirror your point of view there in a little slightly different respect. And that is, if we don't manage climate successfully, or at least minimize the damage that the change is going to do, then subsidiary kinds of concerns, social justice, immigration, those kind of things, right, that we're concerned about now are going to be even more problematic. So I think you're correct in saying the focus really needs to be on climate change. And that, of course, in PSE's terms, that means cleaning up the environment. It does seem like I'm a TPU customer, and I got to say, I love TPU. They seem to be, as a public agency, they seem to be really, really aware of doing what they can to provide us with clean energy, helping homes transition to heat pumps versus gas furnaces, so on and so forth. And I'm not so sure that PSE as a for-profit organization is ever going to feel that way in the same way TPU does. But your point is, we got PSE, they're here. So let's
try to work together.
We have to do
other things later. Oh, I will point out one thing that is very advantageous to Tacoma Power as opposed to PSE is the public utilities get first dibs on the region's hydropower.
Okay.
So if you look at the percentage of hydropower that Tacoma has, it's way up there. For PSE, it's like, I'd say maybe a quarter of their energy comes from a hydro. And that's because the allocation of hydro is controlled by a federal agency. That's the Bonneville Power Administration. And they prioritize the public utilities for receipt of that hydropower before the for-profit utilities. And if you think about it, it was public funds that created the dams that are serving us the hydropower. So it kind of makes sense that the taxpayers' money would go back to the public utilities versus enriching, shareholders of a private utility. So the various public utilities have an advantage over PSE in serving clean power because the hydro is easier for them to get.
Okay, well, that's a great point, and I didn't know that factoid prior to hearing you say it just now. And it points out that so many of these issues, it's easy to simplify, oversimplify the issues, and people like you who see the details, we know it's complex and it's not as easy. You can't put it on a bumper sticker, although as a culture, we kind of want to do that. So I appreciate that kind of clarification. Due to the length and importance of this conversation with Don Marsh, I'm going to divide up our 50 minutes sum talk into two parts. This will be part one. Tune in again next week for the second part of our conversation about Puget Sound Energy and the role it's playing in our economy and our environment. You can contact me at john@ccltacoma.org for comments on this program or to make suggestions for future programs. This program, along with all other locally produced Radio Tacoma programs, can be found on the KTAH website under Programming. In the meantime, always live like the mountain is out. Take care now.